bless you, Brother Victor. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's been good to be here with you for the last 2 days. And I've enjoyed my time in the Philippines for the last week and a half. And I want to thank you for all that you've done to make Brother Doug and myself feel welcome.
Amen.
We're glad to have come. And Fairborn was able to watch some of the services online, so they're enthused about us being here as well. And I'm glad to get to see my Pasito brothers again after so many years. And I'd like to thank you all for all your hospitality.
Yes.
And I didn't get all of the message this morning, but I got enough of it that I understood what you were talking about. Real unity versus the false unity.
Yes, amen.
And the bride need real unity, not like Nero and them building the tower. They got together, but it was under false unity.
Yes.
A forced unity. And see, I did get all of that from your preaching, so don't think I didn't hear a thing. You know, I pray to God and say sometimes, you know, we underestimate God, but He can speak in tongues still in this day. And He can also interpret in tongues in this day. So I didn't get everything you said, but I got enough to take some notes to take home with me. And I appreciated that. And I appreciate all the brothers and sisters that traveled so far to be here. And I don't take that lightly. Brother Branham said people come from miles to hear you. And what kind of a man would you be if you didn't tell them the truth? And so when we come to this point, we always want to open up the word and bring you the truth, because that's what you come to see. You didn't come to see me. You come to see the word of God. Now, I'm not planning on being up here long. And if God be my help, I won't be. But if He doesn't help me, then I might. I don't never know what God's going to do. But we want to read a scripture today. I got a simple thought that I want to talk on this afternoon. And it's coming out of the book of Luke chapter 10. I have a verse there that I would like to read. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Heavenly Father, we come this morning in thanksgiving of your word, knowing that you've given us everything that we need to complete the journey. You brought your scripture, you brought your prophet, and you interpret your word by bringing it to pass. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us and how you blessed us to be able to see what we see. And Lord, help us to be able to take this word that you've given us and share it with someone who might not be as fortunate as we are, that they too might be able to rest knowing that you have made it for them just like you've made it for us. Bless this church and all of these churches that are gathered here today, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Ask you to be with them as they go back to their journey home. And Father, let the word that they received here blossom in their lives. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. For a few minutes this morning, I want to talk on the subject of God in simplicity. And it ties right into what we talked about yesterday, because God is not trying to make this a hard way to go. He's trying to make it simple for the bride. And Jesus, I loved what he said here. He said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise. Now, the wise will never understand this message. The wise have never understood what God was doing. And as much as they get education, as much as they study and learn, they'll never be ever able to come to the revelation and the understanding that the bride will have. Amen. Now, we're sitting here today with a perfect revelation. But it's not because we're wise. It's not because we're prudent. It's because we have humbled ourselves to the prophet of the hour, humbled ourselves to the word of God, and God has taken that, and he's always used the simplicity of things to bring the word to the people. It's never really been hard to get a hold of God. If we can always just depend on him, he will make sure that he breaks it down in such a way that we'll understand. You must understand that this great process that God had, this project that he had in his mind from before the foundation of the world, he always wanted to bring it down to where it could be one with man, but he wasn't able to do so as Elohim. So he humbled himself and he come down into the form of God. And Brother Branham said, before he was God, he was Elohim. And in Elohim, he had this great mystery in himself. And in order for him to break that mystery down to some simple form that we could understand, Elohim humbled himself and created the angels and created something that could worship him. And then he stepped down into the form of God. And even at the form of God, he was not humbled enough that we could pick him up. He was the God that created the heavens and the earth. He was the God that spoke everything into existence. But that being, though it wasn't at the Elohim stage, it was still too great for man to pick up.
Amen.
So God had to humble himself again. And he come down in the form of the word. And he knew that if you could receive the word, then you could receive him, because he and the word are one and the same. So he used the word to create everything. He said in the beginning, let there be light. And there was light. He created by the spoken word. And even at that stage, it was still too great for man to get a hold of. We were still ignorant and still so low down in the chain that God had to humble himself even further than just becoming the word. He had to come down here, and he used prophets of the Old Testament to prepare us for his condescending down to a level where we could pick him up. God always wanted to have something that was simple. It was man who couldn't pick him up. God was always Elohim. He was always available. But because of mankind's weaknesses, he was not on a level to be able to pick up God. And after the fall in the garden, God put a chasm between himself and man. And man could no longer cross that chasm and have the fellowship with God that Adam and Eve had with him. And even in that form, God was not satisfied. Even with Adam, God was not satisfied. Even with Eve, God was not satisfied. Because Brother Branham said God had attributes in himself that he needed to manifest. There were parts of himself that he wanted to express. And he couldn't express it as Elohim. He couldn't express it as God. He wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a redeemer. He wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be the King of Kings. He wanted to be the final judge. He had all of these attributes within himself. And in order for those attributes to come out of him, God would have to simplify himself and humble himself again so that he can manifest the things that were already in himself. God used the prophets of the Old Testament to speak the word. And when the prophet would speak the word, it was still too great for us to pick up. God started to express his program. He said, and through his prophet, a virgin shall conceive. But in that form, in that state, it was still too great for us to understand. Moses said, God will raise up a prophet likened unto me. But it wasn't simple enough for us to understand. But all of these promises of the Old Testament and the saints that God used and the prophets that God used, he used all those things to set the platform so that when he made himself humbled again, that we would be able to recognize where he was. This is the same God that before he was God had it all in his mind, all in his plan. But he had to humble himself and bring himself low enough so that man could understand who he was. He said that a virgin shall conceive. And the Old Testament had every scripture of the Old Testament prophesying about the condescending of God. God coming down to where man and God can become one. But before we could become one, he had to humble himself. He's a God that wanted to be simple. He's a God that wanted to be touched by our infirmities. He's a God that wanted to make himself so easy to access that man could reach out and get a hold of God. But not in the form of Elohim, not in the form of God, but he come down in the form of a man, the Son of Man. When Jesus come on the scene, God humbled himself that he could be born in a manger. He comes so simple that the wise couldn't understand. He comes so simple that the high priest couldn't understand. He comes so simple that he only revealed himself to a certain group of people. When he had humbled himself and come forth as a baby, born in a manger, it was so humble, so simple that wise men overlooked it. So simple that the high priest overlooked it. So simple that they didn't know where God was. And when God was on the earth in the human skin, in the form of a baby, they didn't recognize it because they thought God was going to come in some great mighty way. They thought God would express himself in some great big form. But God humbled himself so much that he came to earth in a crying baby. And even at that stage, God was still too high for man to get a hold of. Jesus come to the earth to do multiple things. He come to redeem those that were lost. We didn't even know that we were lost. We didn't even know, Brother Branham said, that the law came to show us that we were lost. That we, all the law did was put us in jail and let us know how bad off we were. But the law did not have what it took to redeem the bride. And when Jesus came to earth, he came to pay for our sins. He came to pay for our sicknesses. He came to be a kinsman redeemer. God wanted to be akin to man. And in order for him to become akin to man, he had to become man.
Yes.
People think that when we talk about the kinsman redeemer, we're talking about God being a Jew or God being related to man in that form. But God was not Jew, nor was he Gentile, because it wasn't the blood and the egg of a man and a woman. It was the blood and the egg of the spoken word of God. God bringing himself down in simplicity. Bringing himself to where we could touch him. Bringing himself to where we could see him. Bringing himself to where we could walk with him. We could talk with him. And he was going to pay the price that we owed that we could not pay.
That's right.
God is not known by knowledge. God is known by his simplicity.
Yeah.
If you're a good instructor, what makes you a good instructor is not that you're so smart and you can talk over your student's head, but what makes you a good instructor is that you can break it down in such a simple form that the students can receive what you're understanding. Brother Branham said, and God hiding himself in simplicity. He said, God in simplicity. God manifested himself in simplicity. He made himself simple. It was so that the wise would not understand. Jesus said, I thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast hid this from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes such as would learn. Don't never try to educate yourself to God. We've tried to do that in this message. The church world has tried to do this when serving God. We'll bring seminaries into the town. We'll bring colleges in the town. We'll try to make the smartest man our leader. We'll make him our pope. We'll make him our bishop. We'll make him our elder. We'll make him everything that we think he is because of his education. But God is not known by his education. God can only be picked up by revelation. You might have a man like William Branham that had a ninth grade education, but because that man got a hold of God, not because he went to the seminary, but because God revealed himself to him, he turned around and he could reveal it to us.
Yeah.
It's the same with a preacher. You don't pick a preacher because he's the smartest man in the church. You don't bring a preacher in because he knows so much. You find you a man, Brother Branham said, bringing it word upon word, and then you have found God. So here God was bringing himself down into Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, he was everything that God ever wanted to be in a groom. Remember when God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam in the beginning as a man. He said, let us make man in our image. What is our image? Our image is God, Elohim. Elohim was both masculine and feminine. The self-existent one was both masculine and feminine. But God, see, we get confused about masculinity and the femininity of God. But God started out as Elohim, as masculine and feminine. That's why he said in Genesis, let us make man after our image. What was the image of God? It was a spirit man that was both masculine and feminine. But being that he was God, Adam was there by himself. God put Adam in skin because he needed man to till the ground. And God come back in the form and took Adam and said, Adam, even though he was in the image of God, God was not happy, and neither was happy. Amen. Adam happy with where he was at. So God took Adam and said, Adam, I understand your loneliness. I understand that you're both masculine and feminine. But I understand that you are alone. That you need fellowship. That you need companionship. And Adam, I've got a plan for you. And I've got a plan for me. And Adam, what I'm going to do for you in time, I'll do myself in the future.
Amen.
Adam was put to sleep by God. And Adam was separated masculine from feminine. But remember, I've had brothers say that we're back to masculine. God never wanted to just be masculine. If he wanted to just be masculine, he had that as Elohim. God didn't want to be alone. That's what the whole program was about. God wanted to be both masculine and feminine. God wanted to be both husband and wife. God wanted to be king and have a queen. God wanted to have a male and a female. So God showed us a type in Adam. He put Adam to sleep. And when God put Adam to sleep, he took the feminine part of Adam out of him. He didn't speak something to existence. He didn't create something else. He didn't do anything different. He took the creation that he already had and fixed that creation so that he could separate himself into masculine and feminine.
Wow.
But that wasn't enough. Adam and Eve was just a type. But remember, Eve never went back into Adam. People want us to go back into the groom. We will never go back into the groom because we were in the groom to start with. God doesn't want just himself. He wants true fellowship with a bride. The sisters saying, here comes the bride to be ever by his side. But God wanted to do this in such a simple way that man would overlook it. And here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus, both the masculine and the feminine of God. He created Jesus just like he created Adam. That's why the Bible said that Adam was the first Adam and Jesus was the second Adam, because God did with Jesus what he did with Adam.
Come on.
And when Jesus stepped on the scene, he was both masculine and feminine. But God in simplicity hid it from the wise and the prudent. God in simplicity put it in such a way that the educated wouldn't see it, that the smart wouldn't pick it up. But there was going to come a time that Jesus, just like Adam, was going to be put to sleep. And when Jesus was put to sleep, God took out of his side the bride of Jesus Christ.
My God.
And it was done in such a simple way that man missed it. It was done in such a simple way that they didn't understand what God had done. When Jesus died at Calvary, it was not just to take our stripes for our healing, but it was giving us a passport back to God. There was no bridge between us and God until Jesus paid the price. Every person that died in the Old Testament had to go to hell because there was no bridge to the sixth dimension.
Oh, Lord.
But when Jesus was put to sleep, the Bible tells me, out of his side. Where did Eve come? Out of Adam's side. Where did the bride come? Out of Jesus' side. Jesus was put to sleep for 3 days. And while he was put to sleep, God brought the bride out of his side. He brought the formula so simple. Remember, it's Elohim coming down to a place where God and man can be one again, like we were with him before the foundation of the world. When Jesus was put to sleep, the Bible tells me that out of his side came water, blood, and spirit.
Amen.
It's those three elements that God used to take the bride out of Jesus Christ. And it's those three elements that takes the bride back into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You must be born again by the life and the Spirit of God, but you should be washed. You should be baptized. You got to have justification. You have to have sanctification, and you have to have baptism of the Holy Ghost. It takes water, blood, and spirit for you to be born again. And God did the same thing with Jesus as he did with Adam. When the bride came out of Jesus, the only way back into Jesus was those three elements. But the smart and educated think that we're going back into his side. But we're not going back into his side. He didn't want to be alone. Why would God separate Eve from Adam and then take Eve and put her back in Adam? That defeats the purpose of their fellowship. God was bringing himself down. He was condescending from Elohim down to God, down to Jesus, down to the bride. In the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for.
Amen.
That's the life that was in Christ. Jesus said, this life that's in me, it'll come back to you. Amen. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come.
Oh my God.
The Spirit of truth is only the quickening power of the Word of God.
Right.
What gets the bride back into Christ is the Spirit of God quickening the Word of God. Don't ever try to educate yourself to God. When you do, you educate yourself away from God, see? God is not known by education. God is known by faith. Faith is a revelation. God is known by revelation. God humbled himself in such a way that if you can pick up his word, you and he will become one. And you will know the actual mind of God.
Yes.
You will know what Elohim had in his mind from before the foundation of the world. And the first stroke that the devil took was the educational program. And man lost his fellowship with God. That's exactly. He must know God by faith. Not by what he can explain, by what he believes that he can explain. You believe it when you can't explain it. I believe in the rapture. I can't explain it, but I believe it. I believe in the body change. I can't explain how it's going to happen, but I believe it. I believe that I'm a son of God. I don't know how that happened, but I believe it. I can't even explain to you this third pull. Brother Branham said the third pull will not be a public show. It'll be something that you know and you alone. You and God are the only one that knows what's happened to you. It'll be God simply revealing himself to you in such a way that you will know that you and God are one. Not by education, not by smartness, not by teaching, but it's the Holy Ghost revealing the Word of God to you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love you, Brother Nate.
Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 15, and he called his, the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defiles the man. Your word. If you don't have the word of God, your word is what defiles you. Then came the disciples and said, see, he was telling this to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the churchgoers, the educated, the smart men. He was telling them, don't worry about what I'm eating, because they were all upset because they were picking corn on the Sabbath. They were all upset because he was healing people on the Sabbath. They spent more time worrying about the law than they spent on what God was doing. Here the man was blind from his mother's womb. Blind. Jesus healed him. And the disciples were standing there watching it. And the Pharisees and Sadducees saw it. And when they got finished with the healing, they called this blind man who used to be blind over to the side. They weren't worried about the fact that he was seeing again. They were so caught in their tradition and their laws that they asked the man that says, "What happened to you?" They thought they could educate themselves into this. They said, "Don't you know that that man picked corn on the Sabbath? Don't you know he let a prostitute go? Don't you know he raised the sick on the Sabbath day? Don't you know he told a man who was lame to get his bed up on the Sabbath day and walk?"
Yes, yes.
That blind man was a simple man. He wasn't caught up in the politics of the message.
Glory.
He wasn't caught up in all the forms of godliness. He looked at those Sadducees and the Pharisees and says, "You know, what you say may be true. I'm not even saying that he didn't do those things. But one thing I do know." See, a believer will talk from their revelation. "One thing I've had revealed to me. One thing that I can talk about is I was blind, but now I see." Oh, they may have all kind of ideals in this message. They may have all kind of smart men in this message. And they may know a lot of quotes. And they may know a lot of scriptures. But the simplicity of God is such that all I know is one day I was blind, but now I see. Brother Branham said, "In Christ the mystery." He said, "Look at them scholars of the day, those Jews, very fine men, their organizations of Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herodians, and whatever they might be, see, all their great organizations." And Jesus said, "You are blind. You lead the blind. What did Isaiah say of you? You have ears and can't hear, and eyes that can't see." Because Isaiah said this in the spirit, "Therefore God, the God of heaven, has blinded your eyes. You're doing like Eve did, accepting the intellectual side and know nothing of the Spirit of God. Therefore won't they all fall in the ditch, both the leader and the blind too? The leader will fall with the blind because he is blind also. The leader fall and the blind lead the blind. They both fall in the ditch."
Yeah, right, right.
So you must know that the man of God that is preaching to you is giving you, "Thus saith the Lord." Because if he's a blind leader, he'll blindly lead you into the ditch with him. And Jesus knew he was the Word. He knew he was here to save them that were lost. And he knew that those blind leaders couldn't do it. They couldn't do anything. And he said over there in Matthew 13 that they cannot hear nor see. Won't read it, but you know he said it. And he said over here, he said, Brother Branham said, "We have to preach salvation the same way the salvation is for all." When I go somewhere, I'm preaching salvation for everybody. Brother Branham said, "But we know that all cannot receive it. All men cannot see these things." Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes that they can see, your understanding. For there is so many that cannot understand it." There are people out here trying to serve God without an understanding. As simple as God has made this. Remember, he brought it down into Christ. But being in Christ was not enough for God. God wanted to come down another level. He wanted to get to a place where he could move in men. And when Jesus came back on the day of Pentecost, God took one more step down, lowered himself in simplicity one more time. And the same God that was Elohim, the same God that was the creator of heaven and earth, the same God that went to Calvary, moved in that upper room, and laid right on and moved into all of the believers. Now God had a bride. He had a wife. This is what God has been wanting since the foundation of the world. This is what his plan has been all along. This is the simplicity of God. He's always wanted you. He's always wanted a bride. He wasn't going to be satisfied until he broke it down to a point where you can receive his word and you can marry him. That's the simplicity of God. We've made it everything under the sun. We've made it things that God didn't even try to make it. We tried to make God man. We tried to make God human. We tried to make God go away. We tried everything under the sun. But God had in his mind, before he was even God, he had in his mind as Elohim, a bride that was part of him and in him. And when he said, let us make man, he was talking to his attributes that were inside of him. Brother Branham said, God does not reveal himself in greatness. He said, you know, God is so great, he hides himself in simplicity. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, right. So amazing.
A little two-bit preacher, don't have an education, can be God's vessel.
Amen.
And he can stand there with a college degree, educated theologian. And that theologian not even know who God is. That's how simple God is. Brother Branham had a ninth grade education. He didn't have a doctor of divinity like Billy Graham. He didn't have a doctor of divinity like Oral Roberts. He was a little backstreet preacher that God used when everybody else was saying he's no good. Here God in his simplicity brought it to a man who did not even have an education. He's so great that he hides himself in simplicity. And he reveals himself in the same thing he hides himself in. God is so simple that he could come down to the Philippines, come back into a small town. Amen. Come back to where nobody even hardly know that you exist. And he can gather a group of people together and bring you into this same place together. And he can start preaching his word. And his word will be so simple that you're sitting out there saying, I believe this thing. And nobody else can do this. He hides himself in simplicity and reveals it in the same. And God is so great, he can make himself simple. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever seen a great man walk up to a little kid, and the little kid's just in awe of this great man, and he gets down on his knee. He gets down to eye level to the little tot and talks to them on their level. And he fellowships with them on their level. That's what God's done for us. God, who is so great, humbled himself in such a way that he could come down here and talk to me. He could talk to you. And we could actually understand God.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God.
Jesus came so simple that the world missed him. Luke chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothing. The great God of heaven, the one who created the heavens and earth, humbled himself in such a way that you would be able to find him in a piece of cloth.
Amen.
That they worked with the animals. Mary didn't even have a baby blanket. He was so humble that they just wrapped him up in what they had. He was so humble that he didn't go to the inn like we went next door. He was so humble that he went to the barn, the shed, back where the animals were, back where the sheep were, and where the cows were, and the smells, and the straw. They were so humbled that men, the scientists, the smart, the educated, couldn't find that simplicity of God. And the only way to find the simplicity of God is for God to come and personally talk to you and show you where He is. When He come to those shepherds out there in the field, it wasn't the shepherds looking for God. It was God looking for the shepherds. It wasn't the shepherds who knew what was going on. It was God who knew what was going on. And He revealed it to His servants.
Amen.
Same with the three wise men. They did not find God because they were wise. They went and they looked and they knew it was the season. They knew it was the time. But they didn't know what God was doing. And God had to guide them. Just like He had to guide you. Before you knew where Jesus lied, God had to guide you to Him. And He did it in such a simple way that you thought you were seeking God. But man doesn't seek God. God seeks man. God calls you to your day in this message. God calls you to something that you don't know anything about. And He's so simple in the way He does it that man almost takes credit for it when man didn't do a thing. God is simplicity. God is simple. And the bride came simple too. Over in Revelation chapter 3, and I'm finishing up. I'm winding up. In chapter 3, it says, He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He said that to all seven ages. He was working with the bride, bringing her back into Himself in all seven ages. But He wasn't trying to bring you physically into Himself. He was bringing her spiritually into Himself, because God didn't want her physically into Himself, because He wanted a wife. And He gave an ear to everyone in every age that He was going to quicken Himself to. And He did it in such a simple format and such a simple way that man missed it totally. Brother Branham said that God had the masterpiece covered over. And He worked on her in a simple way in every age. And she didn't know what was going on. But Brother Brown said, at the end time, when it's finished, when the bride has been built, then God pulls the cover off and lets us see what it's been about all along. It's always been about the simplicity of God. It's always been about God making Himself one with man. It's always been about God building a bride body. Just like He built Eve, the first Eve. Brother Brennan said He built the second Eve. And He said the first Eve was ordained to fall in. But the second Eve will not fall in, because she's ordained to go home with Him. But God was so simple in building this bride that the smart and educated get confused. They don't know that God is now dealing with the woman that He's loved all the way through. They don't know that He's got the bride exactly where He wants her. He's not trying to get her back in Himself. He wants a group of people that He can take the glory, take back to His kingdom, so He can be God all in all. Jesus, who is our sacrifice, He will be there. All the Old Testament saints who did their part, who was the word for their day, all will be there. The bride from every age who stood for the word of God, which is the only thing that God's built His church by, are every age, they will be there. The foolish virgin, they will be there. The 144,000, they will be there. The innocents, they will be there. And when it's all said and done, God's going to be over the kingdom, and Jesus will be on the throne, and the bride will be there representing the wife of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's all done so simple. It was all the condescending of God. God coming down to this point. Do you realize God will not make another step lower than us? He will never move into the animal. He will never move into the fish. He will never move into the birds. He will never move into anything else. Why? He wanted a bride. He wanted a wife that he could fellowship with, that she can sit with him on his throne, that she can share in his glory. But he doesn't need all the animals to do that. He now had what he wanted in the bride. So God will never go another level. He has come down. He's condescended down to where he's one with man. And he did it in such a simple way that we now can fellowship with that same one that created the heavens and the earth. We now can fellowship the one who died for us on Calvary. We now can fellowship with the bride of all ages because we know who she is now. And we're calling for her because they're a part of us. Simple. God hidden simply in his bride. Jesus taught them that over in Matthew 23. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and said, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets." Jesus was letting them know that when you're messing with the word made flesh, you're killing God's children. In this hour that we're living in, when you're messing with the word made flesh, you're messing with God's children. You got to watch how you handle God's children. It'll be so simple that you can mistake God's children for somebody else. And when you mistake God's children and you put your hand on them like they did on the Ark of the Covenant, God killed them for that. And if you touch the bride of Jesus Christ, God will hold you responsible for that as well. God is so simple that he doesn't look like he should be what he is. Here the bride is back here in the Philippines. Here he is in Fairborn, Ohio. Here he is in Africa. Here he is all over the world in different places. Amen. He doesn't look like a big theologian. And if he does look like a big theologian, beware. Make sure that they're bringing it word upon word. Because if he's bringing it anything other than word upon word, it's not God.
Amen.
It's a unity that's forced. It's a unity that's not based on the word of God. It's a unity that's using people to build mansions, build kingdoms, build their own. You said it right. They make a name for themselves. Watch any man that makes a name for himself. Watch any man that builds a religion. Watch any man that wants to build a kingdom, wants something for himself. That's not the simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of Christ is the word of God made flesh. He spent 6,000 years bringing himself down to where he can sit on a bench. He can hear the word of God and he can say amen to the word of God. That's the simplicity of God. God didn't want to be way up there. He was already way up there. God didn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to just be the groom. He wants him a bride. He hides himself in simplicity. And Brother Branham said that he reveals himself in the same. Brother Branham said, and God hides himself in simplicity. He said, yes. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you sons of the devil, said you garnished the tombs of the prophets and your fathers put them in there. That's right. That's right. See, how many religious men and prophets were sent to you and still you slayed every one of them, see? But what would he call righteous? Them. What would he call righteous? Them. What they call fanatics and cranks? Yes. They call us fanatics and cranks. Because they don't recognize the simplicity of God. I have nothing to gain. I have no name to take. The only name I've taken is the name of Jesus Christ. I'm I'm not trying to produce a religion. I'm not trying to get a group into myself. I'm not trying to establish anything about me. When I leave here, I'm leaving you with the Word of God. And what you do with the Word of God is on your hands. If I never come back, it's on your hands. But God is now in a position where he can simply move into his bride. Yes. This is what he's been working for 6,000 years. Yes. Now he has a bride who can understand the word of God. Yes. Now he has a bride who knows who she is. Yes. She knows what it is. Yes. When we go there, we'll know every part of the body that's already been revealed to us. We know the body. We sit with the names of them on the board in all of our churches. We talk about it all the time. We know the messenger. We know the ages. We know those that's going to be in the rapture. We know all these things. And God brought that in such a simple form. Do you realize that what we understand today was what God had in his mind from before the foundation of the world? This is what Elohim saw.
Yeah.
This is what Elohim wanted.
Yes.
And this bride has moved into a position now. She's been positionally placed. She knows what it is. She knows who she is. And when he moves us from here to glory, the bride of all ages will move with us because we are a part of him.
Amen.
And it'll be such a simple movement that the church world won't understand it. They'll do just like they did Jesus. When John came, Jesus said, Elias shall surely first come.
Yeah, right.
And they asked Jesus, they said, well, wasn't Elias supposed to come first? They missed it. They used their education. They used their smartness. And they thought, surely we doctors of divinity, if Elias is going to come, we would see them. Surely we would know. Jesus looked at them and said, Elias has come and gone already, and you've done with him as you listed. In other words, you killed him. And this hour that we're living in, people are killing the effects of the word to the bride by dividing and conquering and moving and trying to unite under legislation and trying to do these things. God is not about any of that. God is about his word. And when you receive his word, it simply becomes one with you. And when you become one with the word, the rapture is yours.
Amen.
You don't have to work it up. We don't have to preach it up. We don't have to talk it up. The rapture is just a part of the package. Just like the body change is just a part of the package. The marriage supper is just a part of the package. The new heaven and new earth is just a part of the package. Because we are the bride, we'll partake in every bit of that. It'll be so simple that we won't have to do a thing to be a part of it. Jesus said that God is easy to find. Matthew chapter 7, ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find.
Right.
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. How easy is that?
Yes.
How simple has God made it? God come all the way. Remember, we're talking about Elohim, who was the great self-existing one, who had all of this plan in himself.
Yes.
That was the plan of Elohim.
Yes.
That was the plan of Elohim.
Yes.
This was the plan of Elohim.
Yes.
And it was all in him. But he's brought it down in such a simple form that now we can sit here and look at it on the wall. We can read about it. We can talk about it. And we'll know what Elohim was thinking before the foundation of the world. He asked Job, Job, where were you? Before the foundation of the world, when the sons of God shouted for joy. I can answer that today. I can answer that today. I was in the mind of God.
Yes.
I was in the mind of Elohim.
Yes.
God saw me shouting for joy right now. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Right.
How simple it is to get a hold of God today.
Very simple.
When he was Elohim, it was hard to get a hold of him. You couldn't get a hold of him.
Amen.
You couldn't even come in the presence of Elohim without being annihilated. You couldn't even come in the presence of God without being annihilated. And God kept simplifying himself and bringing himself and condescending down till he made himself the Word. Now he can get in you. All you got to do is open the door. It's so simple now. God in simplicity. He is his Word. If you just open the door and let him in, he'll come and sup with you. He said it's so simple now. This bride in the hour that we're living in has it simpler than anybody in all ages. Because during the ages, they didn't understand this thing. They lived under the Son of God ministry, an unseen force. But we've stepped into the Son of Man ministry when all things are possible. We can see the entire Word of God. We can receive the entire Word of God. We can partake of everything that was in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
So simple. So simple. It's God in simplicity. We make it so hard. But we should be making it simple.
Yes. Yes.
It was so simple in Acts. Let's look at the book of Acts for a second. It was so simple in the book of Acts that Peter said, all you got to do is repent and be baptized, every one of you. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Where do we get away from the simplicity of Acts chapter 2? God spent all of his time and energy and planning and all of his prophets and all of his works and paying the price, going to the cross, dying and going to hell, preaching his souls in prison, going to the other side of hell and gathering all the saints up, brought them back with him, come back on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost, and he made a simple solution to be able to be one with God. I can make it that simple this morning. If you in this place this morning repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not if, not and, not but ye shall.
Amen.
He didn't say it was possible. He said it will happen. So simple. In the hour that we're living in, Brother Branham made it so simple. He said, recognizing your day in this message is the new birth. So simple. But we've made it hard. We've made it tough on the congregation. We've made people strive. We've made them drop things, pick things up, do things. We've legislated salvation. And God didn't want to legislate it. He wanted us to freely receive this thing. It is so simple. God in simplicity.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, and God hides himself in simplicity. He said, don't try to educate yourself into something, but get right down before Jehovah God. Speak to him. He'll speak back to you. He'll speak back to you again. Then just how humble it is. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. That's just that simple. That's what Brother Branham said. He didn't mix that with the thunders and the seals. And he didn't mix that with the token. He didn't mix that with the taking your loved ones. He didn't mix that with the rapture and the 7 messengers or the 8 messengers, the 12 messengers or 14 thunders or whatever you have. He didn't mix it with any of that. He said it's just that simple.
Amen.
God made himself so simple that we can receive him now just by receiving his word.
Amen.
He's done all of this to be able to come here today and tell you, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus do when he came to the disciples that were in the room hiding out? He come through the wall and he told them, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was that simple. He didn't have to worry about trying to get a hold of Elohim. They didn't have to worry about trying to get a hold of God. They had met Jesus, and Jesus was the propitiation for our sin. And if he was the payment for us, all we've got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved and your house.
Amen.
That's how simple it is. God in simplicity. We've made it too hard for people. We've made it in such a way that people have a hard time getting a hold of God. One more quote, and I'm going to close. And God hiding himself in simplicity. Brother Branham said, now, let's find out. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise of the world and is going to reveal them to the babes such as will learn. See, God hiding himself in simplicity.
Right.
In Christ.
Right.
God hiding in simplicity. In John. It wasn't just Christ. It was God hiding himself in John.
Yeah.
See? He's just think of it. God in simplicity. Hiding himself from the wisdom of the world.
Amen.
That's what he's done.
That's right.
It wasn't just God hiding himself in Jesus.
Yeah.
It wasn't just God hiding himself in John. But it's God hiding himself in you. That's where he's dwelling now. That's where the Word is. And because you and the Word are one, you are just as much as John 1 and 1 as Jesus was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And jump down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. He's been made flesh in your flesh. It's just that simple. We've made it harder than it needs to be in this hour. It's God in simplicity, revealing himself to the bride in such a way that she can become one with the Word. And when she becomes one with the Word, she'll be his wife for eternity. Here comes the bride. The song says, I see the Word made flesh again. In this our day, God and man, forever to stay. Forever to stay. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What a glorious revelation to know and understand that Christ has come down and he has united, finally, after 6,000 years, finally, after all of the promises, finally, after all of the words spoken, finally, after the prophets, finally, after Jesus on Calvary, finally, after the Spirit of God come back in the upper room, finally, after he's built a church of seven ages, he's come down as the capstone, and he's now united with man. What a revelation that was. And what a revelation this is. God has come down in a simple form by his word and united himself with man. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning. Thankful to know the truth. Thankful to have yourself broken down in such a simple format that this bride can stand on her feet and believe this thing. Oh, it's not hard. It's just we've made it hard. It's just been the condescending of God coming down to where he can become one with man. Oh, you've done that this hour, Lord. And this bride knows what it is. And Lord, we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing to know that we can see God veiled in human skin again. That just your mind, your thought that's come down from Elohim to God, to the Word, to the bride. And now she's on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows what to do with the Word. We're so thankful for that. Help us, Father, to appreciate it, to give it all we have, knowing that it won't be long now until this bride will be forever by your side. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this group, this congregation that's gathered from different churches, maybe even from different likes and different revelations and different thinking. But God, you're the master of all, and you can dissolve every problem, every trouble, every disagreement, every false doctrine. You can get rid of every word of it, every bit of that. Father, as I return back to the United States, I pray that these brothers take this revelation, take this word, and burn this item up. Let them recognize the true simplicity of God dwelling in human flesh, so that we won't be in groups and cliques and a unity that's made by man's thinking, but we'll unite under the word of God and knowing that, Lord, your word is the only thing that you had sent to us from before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Have your way with us, Lord. Bless this group, Father. Bless your bride around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.